following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, Tokers and Tokettes. Welcome. It is Tuesday, January 10th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We're glad you could be here. We're going to have all sorts of fun today. I already looked over in the Pirates Cove. I saw Ganja John is already having too much fun. Ganja John?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And Wiz Calico in the studio as well. How you doing, Wiz?
Quite well. Glad to be back. Glad to not be in class today.
Yeah, absolutely. And joining us later on the show today, of course, we've got Todd Armstrong with Todd's Toker Topics. There he is in the corner of the new high-def camera. How's it going, Todd?
Excellent. I'm glad to be
back. All right. Glad to have you here. On today's show, let's not forget, of course, in the virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, the lovely and eloquent Cannabis Carrie.
I would never be angry at you for getting to introduce me.
I'll try never to forget.
I was going to say, I know you'd remember once the swooshes came and someone needed to do the news.
He's like, oh, wait a minute. Isn't supposed to be reading there? Yes, we got the news coming up right after this first break. What do we have for headlines today, Carrie?
Well, today we're going to cover quite a bit of news if we can get it all in. There's a California man facing extradition to Texas. Also, we're going to go over a Supreme Court case, or maybe not a Supreme Court case. And we're going to go to the University of South Wales, where they're trialing a new product for marijuana consumers.
All right. More pharmaceuticalization of cannabis. We'll talk about that and more. Also coming up today, we've got our Electric Tuesday Daily Toker Tunes. And I'm going to bring you one from somebody I really dig, Dell, the funky Homo sapien. Not your average Homo sapien. A funky, not
funky.
Not a funky Homo sapien, the funky Homo sapien will be on our Electric Tuesday today with a song called Turbulence. Then I'm going to bring you a highlight from last night's live edition of A Different View with Jen, Iva, and Sarah. They interviewed Heather Donahue. She was the actress that people know from the Blair Witch Project, but she also has a new book out called Grow Girl, which is all about her transition from being an independent film actress to being a grow girl. I think you'll really enjoy it. And then, of course, Todd's Toker Topics after that. What's your topic for today, Todd? Why pot is not a drug. Oh, this will be a great topic. We'll get some conversation going on that as well in our second hour, our Toker Talk Radio, where you can dial in and let us know what you think, ask questions, make suggestions, comments, criticism. We're here. It's 971-533-7111 right there at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. So stay tuned. We are the voice of the marijuana nation, and we can only be that if you make your voice heard. So get in our chat room on Ustream or join us by calling in later on today. We're back with the news right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Fishbone pulled up today in the van, and I walked out of the building, walked through the big building over there. I walked outside, and I'm walking over by the lake, and I just see everybody casually smoking weed like it's all right. Like it's supposed to be like that.
Because it is all right.
Like you ain't got to worry about no police coming and asking you what you're smoking or what are you doing here, or let me see your driver's license. See, that's how they do it in Amsterdam. Everybody's just out there chilling. Ain't nobody stressing. You go buy your weed at the shop. You go kick it, smoke your weed, walk the street, do whatever you want to, and you don't know.
Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The question about owning guns while being a medical marijuana patient will not be argued by the highest court in the land. A gun rights case that began in a small Oregon town may have finally reached the end of the line. Cynthia Willis, a resident of the tiny town of Gold Hill, Oregon, had been a longtime concealed handgun permit owner. In the town of about 1,200 residents, Willis, a retired school bus driver, was looking to renew her concealed handgun permit when the sheriff in Jackson County that oversees the permitting process found out that she was also an Oregon medical marijuana patient. Willis took her battle to court in 2008 over the matter of not getting that permit renewed, and Jackson County Sheriff Mike Winters argued that issuing the license would violate federal law, specifically the Gun Control Act of 1968. That act from 44 years ago specifically forbids anyone who uses or is addicted to a controlled substance from having a firearm. The court found that Sheriff Winters had no precedent to deny Ms. Willis her renewed gun permit license based on the fact that she was a medical marijuana patient. Well, the sheriff took the case to an appellate court, where Willis prevailed again. Then Winters took the case all the way to the Oregon Supreme Court. The highest court in Oregon also agreed with the lower courts. Jackson County's legal team were arguing that the Gun Control Act of 1968 was on their side, barring people who were considered dangerous or irresponsible and used controlled substances from owning a gun. They also said that a ruling in Cynthia Willis's favor would force the sheriff to issue concealed weapon permits to people who admitted to using methamphetamine. They also said that there is a conflict between the state law and federal law, and that when that happens, the federal law should prevail. But the High Court in Oregon ruled that the issuing gun permits to medical marijuana patients would not violate the Federal Gun Control Act based on Oregon's own concealed handgun licensing laws. The federal law in this case, the 1968 Gun Control Act, only gives the states authority to set their own rules for gun ownership and concealed weapon permits, according to the Oregon Supreme Court. After that ruling, the persistent Jackson County Sheriff, Mike Winters, had the county legal team prepare to take the case to the U.S. Supreme Court to ask for clarification of the federal law that he said he still believes outlaws guns in the hands of medical marijuana patients. This week, the Supreme Court decided not to hear that case, along with a similar gun permit case from Washington County, Oregon. Since the state ruling, Sheriff Winters has had to provide concealed handgun licenses to Willis and other medical marijuana patients as a result of those court rulings. Lee Berger, a well-known activist lawyer in the state, has had that case from the lawyer courts on up the ladder and says that he hopes this message from the Supreme Court will force Winters and other sheriffs to respect the rights of medical marijuana patients. This case has cost the tiny county of Jackson about $50,000 in legal fees.
Yeah, was it worth it, Sheriff Winters? You know, look, I had lunch with Lee Berger today, and we discussed this case and many other things, and I actually was made aware of something that I didn't realize. I did realize that here in Oregon, on the state schedule of controlled substances, we moved cannabis. We moved cannabis down from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2 under state law. Now, that you think that's a great thing, but really it doesn't mean a whole lot, because when doctors need to prescribe drugs, they have to get a DEA license for the federally controlled drugs. So really, a doctor in Oregon could prescribe cannabis under Schedule 2 under Oregon law, but then he couldn't prescribe anything else because the feds would pull his license, right? So it's kind of a symbolic thing, but we're glad it happened. But as part of that, as part of raising marijuana to Schedule 2, methamphetamine was raised to Schedule 1. Here in the state of Oregon, meth is a Schedule 1 drug and pot is Schedule 2. Whereas in the United States code, it's just the opposite of that. Pot is Schedule 1 and meth is Schedule 2. Kind of interesting. With regards to this case, Sheriff Winters, really, why do you want to disarm sick and disabled people? What is it in it for you? What are you afraid of? I mean, I know you're supposedly, you know, upholding the public trust and, you know, serve and protect and all of that. So, who are you serving and protecting by taking the concealed handgun permits from lawful, sick, and disabled people that have registered with the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program? I know your excuse is that you're following the letter of the law, but there's all sorts of letter of the law things cops could be going after that they don't really, because they know it's not worth their time. I mean, letter of the law, I shouldn't be driving 56 miles an hour in a 55, but nobody goes after that because really the danger's not there and it's not worth the court's time to sort it out. Wouldn't that apply to lawful medical marijuana patients in the state of Oregon that are applying for their concealed handguns permits? So in that case, why do you feel that you need to go after them? There's not a public safety interest here. It's not like we're afraid that suddenly the Cynthias of the world are going to go on some sort of handgun rampage. In fact, they're the ones that need to fear the attacks from the rippers and the thieves out there that might attack them in a home invasion robbery. They're the people who need their Second Amendment rights the most. I really, really hope this finally does the job of convincing Sheriff Winters to stop this quixotic quest here to try to disarm lawful medical marijuana patients.
I wouldn't count on it. A team from the University of South Wales is trialing an oral spray that would help cannabis users who want to quit using cannabis. The team from the National Cannabis Prevention and Information Center, led by Professor Jan Copeland, is hoping that a pharmaceutical extract of the plant can help smooth the cravings for cannabis and ease withdrawal symptoms. The spray works in a similar fashion to nicotine patches to help tobacco smokers quit their habit. The spray contains a low dose of THC along with a high dose of CBD, the part of cannabis researchers believe reduces anxiety. They are hoping the spray bottle will target any withdrawal uncomfortableness when people are trying to quit using cannabis that would sabotage that effort. Professor Copeland says that the withdrawal symptoms of cannabis are not life-threatening, but can still affect sleep and cause irritability and anger, therefore sabotaging their efforts. The product development comes just days after a global study found that those down under, where the spray is going through the trial phase, are the largest consumers of cannabis in the world.
All right, I got to put a positive spin on this, because I did do a story, I don't know, a year or two ago, where they were theorizing, or I don't even remember if they were prescribing, lithium for people to get off of the cannabis withdrawal system. Lithium to get people off of marijuana, for God's sake. This is more of a CBD type of a spray, you know, no, basically the effects of the cannabinoids without that pesky high. Oh, we got to get rid of that pesky high. What weird kind of circular logic is this, where we give you an extract of cannabis to get you off of cannabis? Very strange. And what is it they're really trying to cure here? This cannabis withdrawal is, for most people, irritability, sleeplessness, and so forth. I mean, hey, if I'm cool with you smoking pot, then I'm cool with you taking a spray to not smoke pot. It just seems like a whole bunch of ado about nothing. If when I really look at it here, I don't really get it.
I need a cupcake spray for my first few days of dieting, by the way. A 22-year-old medical marijuana patient is set to be extradited to Texas in the coming days to face pot possession charges that could land him in prison for up to 99 years. 22-year-old Mendocino resident Christopher Diaz sits in a Ukiah jail awaiting extradition to Browns County, Texas. His case has caught the attention of medical marijuana advocates throughout the state who are holding the case up as an example of the failings of national marijuana law. Diaz was arrested on October 30th as he drove through Austin, Texas on his way to visit his great-grandmother who was very, very ill. He had less than a half an ounce of hash and less than a quarter ounce of marijuana in the car when authorities pulled him over. He was arrested on possession with intent to distribute. After his arrest, Diaz left Texas and hightailed it back to his home in California. He has now been indicted for bail jumping. He is currently being held on a $160,000 bail, but the judge in the case wants you, or the judge in California wants you to know that as a California official, she is required to comply with Texas authorities under the Uniform Extradition Act. Judge Ann Moorman said that she has no authority in the matter, and even the bail amount was set in Texas and outside of her jurisdiction. Advocates of Diaz and the medical marijuana community in general say that waiting for extradition could have been done outside of custody. Diaz suffers severe asthma and said his family moved to California 5 years ago so they could specifically pursue alternative treatments for his breathing ailment. The marijuana was found with his recommendation wrapped around it, along with religious documents from the THC ministry that Diaz says his entire family belongs to and adheres to their belief about the religious rights of marijuana as a sacrament as well as a health treatment. The Brown County District Attorney Michael Murray told media last week that while less than an ounce of pot isn't a huge deal in California, it is in Texas. Brown County District Attorney Murray said the case is a serious one and he does not believe Diaz needs marijuana for medical purposes. If convicted, Diaz faces that sentence of between 5 and 99 years in a Texas prison. Murray told the Press Democrat, quote, he needs to come back and face the music. There's just not much tolerance here for anybody distributing drugs for any reason. Diaz could be extradited any day now, and we will be monitoring this case.
Okay. Well, once again, whatever you paid to the THC ministry for your get-out-of-jail-free card, you deserve a refund. And as far as this, this case just really sucks. But I'm telling you, part of the problem in this case is the hash. It's not the quarter ounce of marijuana. Do you say a half ounce of hash almost?
He did have a half ounce of hash as he was traveling.
Yeah, that's even questionable in California at this point. And I want to get the exact precedents and codes on this. But as far as I understand, hash in California is still a no-no where marijuana isn't. But, I mean, don't quote
water me. Hash isn't.
Water hash isn't the problem. It's,
no. And like the
amount is. I was going to say the amount is where they got the distributing charge for him. Too much for one person.
Yeah, too much for one
person.
That's
a lot for even me to carry.
Yeah, half ounce of hash is a whole lot. And I'm not forgiving this in any way. I mean, this is despicable that he'd be in any sort of problem, but it is something we need to learn from because in our community, we just think of it as something that's part of the cannabis community. You know, cannabis, we have bowls, we have shake, we have hash, we have water hash, we have oils, you know, and we just think of it as all one kind of thing. I mean, yeah, one's a little more potent than the other, one's easier to transport than the other, but we just think of it as cannabis. It's not thought of it that way out there. I mean, pot is still thought of as, you know, being a bad thing, and then hash is considered to be, you know, a bad thing concentrated, you know, so you got to remember, and especially when we're talking about Texas, and if your name ain't Snoop Dogg or Willie Nelson, you know, that's still a serious crime. So we're going to have to keep an eye on this, and we will let you know as we get more details on the process.
And I just have a quick feel-good story and a great idea for small normal chapters. The Ann Arbor Medical Cannabis Guild in Michigan decided to hold a one-month food drive last month that would be coordinated between the 9 medical marijuana nonprofit collectives that are included in that group. The Cannabis Guild was organized between the nonprofits as a way to honor their mission of dedication to helping the community at large. Collectively, they donated 3,000 pounds of canned and non-perishables, which was far beyond their original goal of just reaching 1 ton. Getting involved in the community has raised awareness of the Cannabis Guild, and the members are hoping that the Alliance of Medical Marijuana Nonprofits will add more members and head other community projects in the future. I just wanted to say to them, great job.
Yeah, that is great work out there. And I've always preached that we as marijuana reformers need to get more integrated with the community and show them that we are good citizens, right? That they don't have anything to fear from us, that we are, aside from our use of cannabis in most people's cases, law-abiding citizens, right? And that we want to contribute to our societies. And having food drives, neighborhood park cleanups, participating in beach cleanups, joining the Komen Race for the Cure with a team. I know there's JDR has that thing that they play all the time on I can't remember the name of it. It's a sports thing. Run on Grass. That's it. Where they, a bunch of runners who are part of a team that run, you know, specifically on the cause of marijuana legalization and spreading that message to other people. Get involved not just with marijuana reform. Just get involved. Get involved in politics. Get involved in local politics. Get involved in your neighborhood association. You know, find a way to contribute.
What do you think about a break, Russ?
I think about a break today, what I thought about a break yesterday, what I thought about a break for the past 20 years. It's time. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Okay. 76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back. I hope y'all had a good 20 after break. I know Ganja John did. And, you know, in the spirit of, you know, full disclosure and fairness here, we should honor the fine glass manufacturer who produced that piece.
Yes, thank you to Doug at Hitman Glass for that beautiful turbine.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We love it. Thank you so much. And we'll get that on cam again there. There it is, a little turbine next to our new Normal Show Live grinder, or not, keef boxes that were made by Adam Hand, handmadeapparel.biz. And then behind them, the Cheech and Chong signature Nikes that were given to me as a gift. Thank you very much. We're going to get those autographed by Cheech and Tommy and have those as auction items that we can use for fundraising later on. So check that out. Stay tuned for that. We'll let you know how you can be a part of that. Meanwhile, it's Daily Toker Tunes time here for Electric Tuesday, and I was just sifting through the IOTA promo net looking for the next tune that I would play, and Lo and behold, one of the best-selling albums that's up there on the promo net, Deltron 3030, popped up. And for those of you that don't know, that's from Del, the funky Homo sapien. Now, some of you may know his work with Gorillaz, doing the work with that group, and I'm sure he's got other credits.
Clint Eastwood was that song that he did with him that was so popular.
Yeah, that Clint Eastwood song. And he's got a whole bunch of other hip-hop credits, I'm sure, that I'm completely unaware of. But
and
I just
also
don't...
Ice-T's cousin.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. All right. So Ice-T's cousin, Del, the funky Homo sapien. Let's get it on. This is some Turbulence. This is a bonus track that is called the Mark Bell Remix. So enjoy this for your Daily Toker Tunes on this Electric Tuesday. Downloads available up at our site, stash.normal.org.
It's 30-30, yo, I get my hands dirty. They think they the pure breed, medically insured weed. Fuck the system, non-conformist humans walk around because of their ordinance, just ornaments. Super thugs use computer bugs. All ignoramus is reduced to savage half-beast off a crack piece. Not me, I'm shit-faced, which way but loose. In a hovercraft, not no bubble bath, turbo boost. Fuck Earth, I wanna live on Mars, so I'm closer to the stars and farther away from dumb civilization with no mental stimulation. They change the constitution for your red, white, and blue friends. Exterminate nuisance, no one listens to what you said. The online is touching your head. We're brainwashing with propaganda about your fearless leader who got 200 bodyguards so you can't touch them either. Bodies disappear, obviously a fear. Lobbyists can't get near shit. Everybody's spirits are under control. Computers run with the soul. Elitist defeatists, they live by the beaches. Bubble dome over the hemisphere so you can't enter here. We live in the dumps with mutant rodents with blood red eyes, saliva drips for opponents. Scratch your ID chip off cause everybody own it. I envision turbulence and murder sense. This is an everyday occurrence.
It's 30-30.
I envision turbulence and murder sense. This is an everyday occurrence.
It's 30-30.
I envision turbulence and murder sense. This is an everyday occurrence.
It's 30-30.
I envision turbulence and murder sense. This is an everyday occurrence.
It's 30-30.
Teach high tech and private portables that float above commoners, they soon as bombing first. Advanced safety features from contact with creatures who either slave their lives away in outdated factories or maybe bounty hunters in a land of apathy. I'm Butch Cassidy style, wow, uncontained. I steal computer disk files, drink water from drains. Metal detectors check ya, with reflectors in every sector while I drink electric nectar. No one believes in specters and spooks. They just lecture the youth about having respect and goof toward the U.S. and you guessed it. The rest get in prison or incisions in their medulla. No president, we have a ruler. Missile launchers haunting in your nightmares. It ain't quite fair. Little types ain't prepared. They got your wife naked bare in the subway for some thug play. Neopunks with cerebral pumps for enhanced recognition of politicians and witches. Senior citizens are disposed against their wishes. Aliens landed, said our planet wasn't worth invading cause all the natural resources are fading.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor,
I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at HighTimes.com and finer bookstores.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
It just has something to say.
All of us can get a piece of that pie. And the reason we don't have headway is because that 1% can't figure out how they're going to make all the money.
It just has something to say.
Your Sunday morning and Wednesday evening pot and politics immediately following Danny Danko's free weed here on
The Libra Lounge.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that interact nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement in prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now, we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Show Live Cannabis Conversations.
All right, welcome back, everyone. First, I have to ask, am I really this red in real life? Look at my face on the camera. I look red as hell.
You're a goddamn berry man.
I guess I am. All right, well, that's just the high-def cameras we have now, but welcome back. Hey, for today's Cannabis Conversation segment, I'm going to bring to you a highlight from last night's live episode of A Different View. It airs every Monday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. It features Jennifer Alexander, who's the Portland Portland Examiner dispensary reporter. We also have Sarah Frank, the founder of Moms for Marijuana International, and Iva Cunningham, the head of Alternative Medical Choices, who, full disclosure, is Mrs. Radical. She is my wife. And is that why I'm promoting the show? Well, maybe, sure. But also, it was a fantastic interview. They had Heather Donahue, who was the actress from the Blair Witch Project, who has currently got a book out called Grow Girl. And it's her chronicle of how she went from being an independent film actress to being a marijuana grower under a medical marijuana program. It was a really great interview, and I thought it would be something that you'd enjoy as well. So I'm going to switch over now to Jennifer there at A Different View and enjoy the interview with Heather Donahue.
Heather, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm a big fan of what the Women's Alliance is doing, for sure.
Wonderful. So let's start there. Tell us a little bit about how you went from being in the Blair Witch Project to the Normal Women's Alliance.
I realized in my acting career I wasn't really getting to do the things that I wanted to do anymore. I wasn't really putting things out into the world that I was proud of. And I have a long-standing meditation practice, part of which is the idea of right livelihood and trying to contribute something positive. And when the opportunity came to become a marijuana grower instead of an actress, to me that was actually far more in keeping with my ideas of what right livelihood was.
Nice. Wonderful.
So I jumped at the opportunity. I met a man who lived in this beautiful little town that I'd actually fallen in love with about 7 years prior. And he sat down next to me, invited me to a hot spring, told me he lived in this town, and I was just completely intrigued, but I couldn't figure out what people in that town did for money. And he's like, oh, I grow pot. I was like, ding. No more.
I want to get to know you.
Yes, please tell me more. Let me be your apprentice. And so I was. Awesome.
And did you just grow for yourself, or did you grow for a group of people?
No, I was growing for patients. I was growing for other patients.
Awesome. And
yeah, I had
so,
a wonderful little indoor scene.
So were you growing outside, or you were growing indoors, right?
I was growing indoors. I did attempt a very tiny outdoor patch, but I was so terrified that it was in so much shade that absolutely nothing happened to it. It was just like pure larf.
The lessons this experience
it makes
teaches.
You, exactly. It makes you wonder how they do it to our national forest with all the trees and stuff. How do they make that happen?
Oh, I wish they wouldn't make that happen.
Me too. I know. I agree.
Yeah.
So
I'm all for things changing and then having some of the LED technology get a little bit better so we mm-hmm. doesn't have to have such a big carbon footprint, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, what was it, 1% of electricity consumed in this country is for indoor cannabis cultivation?
Yikes. We need to become more of a truly green industry. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your book, Grow Girl.
So my book is basically about that process of kind of trying to find my way in the world once I realized that I wasn't going to be an actress anymore. And this was this thing that I was telling myself I was for most of my adult life. So I had to kind of scrap that identity and begin again. Mm-hmm. And for me, God, becoming a grower was such a nourishing way to spend that year. I loved the girls, my plants. I felt like I learned so much from them, just their cycle of really loving this thing and nurturing the hell out of it and then cutting it down and letting it go, you know? And going through this process round after round, it really hammered home lessons for me that were more intellectual before, you know? Because I loved my girls, and it was always a little hard to cut down and let go, but
yes,
I knew it was putting something good back out into the world, and they had another mission after the room, you know, so they had a job to do, so I had to let them go do that job.
So had you always been a cannabis consumer before you had gotten, you know, while you were acting or before you were acting? I mean, have you always had cannabis in your life? I mean,
a very light one. For me, I was always using it for PMS.
Mm-hmm.
And for like that first killer day of cramps, like it was
better than
my
dollar Pamprin.
Oh, for sure. And just lovely. You know, just bringing a little joy to that day.
Exactly.
Which is sort of
no kidding. You know?
So, but really, my respect for the plant and my admiration and my commitment to it certainly came from being a grower.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Now, you say you
really
were using for
so
medical reasons. Did you know that you were using
too.
For medical reasons? Or were you just using it that time of the month to feel better and didn't know why?
Just to help with the cramps. You know, I knew it was useful for PMS, and so I figured, why not? And then I was also, I love it before a hot bath. It's like my cheap tropical vacation.
Yep. Yeah. Better than a bottle of wine. Yep.
For sure.
So what exactly do you do with the Normal Women's Alliance? How are you involved with them?
Well, I've actually just gotten acquainted with those ladies, and I'm really looking forward to working with them more because I find myself in this very strange and unique position. Like, for example, I'm going to be on The View on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Wonderful.
Well, this is
and
a
I
different
think it's view. Really... I don't think they
That's great. Well, you know, that's kind of interesting because that is a very mainstream in the living room of a lot of households. And it's a show that's very popular, you know, obviously, for women. I find it interesting. Did you, you know, that, you know, a lot of women who are raising children and have careers and that sort of thing that wouldn't necessarily talk about their cannabis use. Did you find that a bit of a challenge to kind of fit in both of those livelihoods, those of us that were open and okay with being cannabis consumers and those that you knew were cannabis consumers but not quite ready to embrace the whole package?
They are part of who inspires me. You know, I want those ladies to, you know, be okay with it, you know, have the consciousness that it is safer than alcohol, you know, and if you want to go home and smoke a bit instead of your glass of Chardonnay, that shouldn't be a problem.
No, and I think a lot of women feel that way, but I think, you know, when you hear cases like the one we talked about a little bit earlier, I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear it, but we hear about those kinds of things where women are losing their children or people are losing their homes or they're getting busted and those kinds of things. And so the risk is, you know, I've got to take care of my family and I've got, you know, all these issues. I still want to be a cannabis consumer, but I'm not sure I want all that comes with it.
Right, but if I can go on The View and be talking about this openly.
Right, right.
Then and maybe you can, because I mean, look, the whole reason that we have prohibition is for bad PR.
Right, yes.
You know?
Yes,
that's
exactly.
1930s PR that's still, we're still feeling the effects of. So what we need is now a new PR, and women are going to be really the ones who have the power to change that, because right now it's women who are the holdouts.
Right. I think that's
because
awesome.
Because of wanting to protect themselves, you know?
Right.
Because they have more to lose, because they have a self-preservation instinct, because they want to do the right thing.
Right.
I think that's awesome that you're going on The View, because I've noticed, I believe that women are really important in this movement, just like with alcohol prohibition, you know, kind of just making that shift to normalizing it for the family experience. You know, it's not just young guys that are single running around smoking marijuana, that it's a perfectly normal thing and an adult thing. And I think that for so long we haven't been in the mainstream, and clearly just bringing the women into it has thrown it even more mainstream. It's easy for people to blow off, you know, the average man who's talking about marijuana. They're like, oh, he's just a stoner.
Right.
But when they're looking at somebody who's had a successful career, a mom, an average, you know what I mean, on The View?
Right. Well, you know, and Whoopi Goldberg is, I wouldn't call her an outspoken advocate.
I think
she's outspoken
about her use, though.
Right. I think she's very confident in her use and discussing it. And I think that's where we need to come as women. Need to, whether you're a consumer or not, but be able to talk about it and how it affects us personally. And I commend you for coming out and talking to mainstream people and you know, being able to use those contexts, because it is, you know, it's difficult to get mainstream people to the table to have that conversation, just to have an open discussion about it.
Well, how else are we ever going to get it off of Schedule One? And then how else are we going to really prove the medical efficacy? And that, do you know what I mean?
It's, right.
There's got to be this step-by-step process, and part of that is going to come from just a change in public opinion.
So, Heather, we're going to be wrapping this up, but really quick, if you could tell us, where can people buy your book, and exactly when again will you be on The View? People are interested in watching that episode.
I'm going to be on The View on Thursday, January 12th, this Thursday. And the book is Grow Girl, and it's available wherever books are sold. You can come visit me on my website at heatherdonahue.com or find me on Facebook and Twitter.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for being here.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And, you know, girl power.
Yeah, come back.
Amen to that.
Come back soon and let us know how that book's selling.
Yes, definitely.
I sure will.
All right.
Thank you.
You're listening to A Different View, and we will be right back.
Tonight, I appeared on Jeopardy, and, well, how do I say this? I lost. Not only did I lose, I lost to this guy. My basketball coach, you don't kick me off the team. That's right. I lost to Cheech Marin. Cheech of Cheech and Chong fame, pot smoking star of blunt burning films like Up in Smoke, Next Smoke, and Still Smoking. He not only beat me, he crushed me. When I heard I was up against Cheech Marin, I admit, I thought his reflexes would be slow, not to mention his synapses perhaps, but I was so very, very wrong.
As Conan the Barbarian on What's Best in Life, to crush your enemies and to hear the lamentation of their women. Cheech.
Who is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes. Cheech again.
Who is Al Pacino?
Right. Cheech.
What is Pillow Talk?
Right. Cheech.
What is Never Never Land?
Yes. Cheech.
What is Camelot?
Yes. Cheech.
What is a baster?
Yes. You're the winner today. Your charity will get $50,000 and Aisha and Anderson's charity, $25,000 each.
So
So I admit it, I lost to Cheech Marin. I tied for second with comedian Aisha Taylor, who is also a great player. And joining us now is the two-time Jeopardy champion, the man who crushed me, Cheech Marin. Cheech, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much, Anderson.
Have people just been congratulating you? Do they pour out into the streets to congratulate you? Because people have been mocking me mercilessly since this thing was aired tonight.
It's tough when you can't hit a big league curveball, man. That's the separation point. But I don't listen to her because my head is like a sieve.
Looking to get high? Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana. The drug on the street today, stronger than ever.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Here at NORML Show Live, we spend all week taking a look at the tragedy of American marijuana prohibition. But it's important to take a break and remember that we are a vibrant, diverse, and oftentimes hilarious community of people. So our friend, comedian Todd Armstrong, joins us to poke fun at one of Todd's toker topics.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And as you can tell, we've got the new liner. What do you think about that?
I'm so impressed. I feel so professional and not even part of the family, but the black sheep of the family.
So to speak. So we bring Todd in here on Tuesdays to kind of lighten the mood. And boy, after the past couple of days, we could use some mood lightening. So what do we have for a topic today?
We have the topic of why pot or marijuana or cannabis is not a drug.
All right, let's hear it.
I love this. This is actually following up from Ganji John's posting on Facebook from Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Fabulous posting about cannabinol deficiencies. And I'd like to talk about why pot's not a drug, because we've often defined drug as a different term throughout American histories. In the 1760s, caffeine was a drug. We have people sitting around spazzing their ass off writing things like the Declaration of Independence. And we have folks creating a whole entire marketing scheme on a drug called alcohol in the 1930s, making an entire black market scheme, which brings us to today's situation with the Mexican cartels, what we view as the modern-day drug of cannabis. And I can't call pot a drug for one reason, that most people find it attractive. And for this one reason, I point at the one reason of it being culturally acceptable to have multiple magazines such as Skunk and High Times, which are full of attractive things, which are plants and women. They're both sticky, and you both want to pop them in your mouth for different reasons. But I digress. In a sense of we accept magazines with beautiful women covering their nudie parts with buds and whatnot, and that's very sexy, and pipes and stuff. But you don't see Meth Monthly, where you have cracked-out women covering boobs with their crack pipes and scratching scabs. But it would look very close to Cosmo because those girls do need to eat. But again, the reason pot's not a drug in the modern sense is that pills can produce a rock-bottom story. Alcohol can produce a rock-bottom story. I mean, even caffeine can burn you out. But you really can't produce a rock-bottom story with pot necessarily, because what would the worst comes to worst be? You'd have constant tales of how people would have too much patchouli oil's cologne, or how they got fired from their Comb Award job for being too high and drawing dicks on cheeks all day. I mean, that's the worst comes to worst in society. And you might have one person that just got too high one time and, you know, ate two boxes of Captain Crunch Crunch Berries all by themselves and woke up in the hospital with a Crunch Berry lodged in their brain because they forgot the fucking milk. But that's not society's fault. You can't call it a drug just for that. Because if you think of this as that you have roving packs of alcoholics going through the streets, you freak out. But then you just remember that's just a Raiders game. That's what the apocalypse of drunks would look like. And then you look at, you know, what would a roving band of, like, nuclear meth heads look like after the apocalypse, just taking all the metal from everything else? That's a drug. Roving packs of coke heads with pop collars, $200 jeans, and fighting in penny loafers. It's hilarious to watch people fighting wet streets and penny loafers. Welcome to Portland, Oregon and Second Avenue.
Yeah.
But primarily, no drug can produce an art form, which pot can. We have pot movies. We have pot comics. We have pot music. I mean,
We have Cypress Hill. We have Little Wayne the Green Goblin. We got Snoop Dogg with Sticky Icky Icky. We don't have any meth hop. There's no Sergeant Ice and the sign peddlers, you know, something clever like that. You've never heard the line, you know, heating up my pipe with the oil from the Arab, sitting in my Trans Am, picking on some fresh scabs. That sounds stupid because it's not an art form. And what I'm going to leave you all with, and what I want to point out mostly, why pot's not a drug, is you can't make a drug into clothing. You can't make a drug into food, and you can't make a drug into medicine that fixes cannabinoid receptors we already have in our body. So let's just quit beating around the bush and stop calling it a drug and argue if you want to call it a plan or argue if you want to call it a Schedule 2 drug or a Schedule 3 drug, whatever downgrades it down from the ridiculousness of a Schedule 1 we win. So please just let's go for that for the moment, folks. That's my opinion. I'm Todd Armstrong. I will try to see you next Tuesday if I'm on the road.
Ooh, all right. Great topic. I'm loving that one.
Thank
so
much.
So what's the next gigs? Let people know, because Rolla J in the chat room was saying you got to do a gig down in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I'll talk to Daniel Dugar. That's the plan for early spring this year. But I will be in Montana, in Miles City, in Glasgow, and also Butte come next Thursday, Friday. And I'll look up a local shows around town. But go to Facebook, /, Goob the Knob, please.
All right. Goob the Knob still on Facebook.
Absolutely.
But Arm
for
Todd Strong.
Yeah, on Twitter and all that stuff.
Arm Todd Strong on Twitter. It's right there.
I'll be getting toddarmstrong.net and all the goobtheknob.com all up and running in the next 2 weeks. So.
Oh, fantastic.
It won't matter once I'm Googleable.
Yeah, once you're Googleable, it's all cool. All right. Well, thanks, Todd, for coming in, and we appreciate that so much. And
thank you.
When we come back, we'll just round out the rest of the hour and talk a couple more topics here at Normal Show Live. So stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
All right, we're back and we're all jazzy now.
Jazzing it up.
Yeah, we're just going to round out this last 8 minutes here with just some roundtable discussion, because I agree with what you're saying on the whole pot and drug thing, because what I've always said is that coca leaf, opium poppy, and cannabis bud are not drugs. They cannot be drugs until a man has taken them and processed them to something else.
Yeah, I'll take the argument for hash being a drug any day of the week. Yeah. I mean, an intoxicant, whatever you want to define it as, but I think it's a product. Hashish is one of the many amazing products that is from an amazing plant that whatever reason you want to find or blame is based upon public fear has been, you know, taken from us. And
yeah.
I just want people to have jobs, for God's sake. That's all it is.
As much as I don't want to argue that hash isn't a drug, I've seen people overdose on it, so I've never seen someone overdose on smoking a joint.
Yeah, you cough your face off before you can.
Just like
that.
You can. I mean, you die from chugging wine fast. You drive from drugging beer.
You never
put it the same, because I view hashish as wine, which is it is a connoisseur taste, and it's an acquired thing. And I never liked it until I was an adult. Actually,
I like to say sipping whiskey.
Absolutely,
I'd say whiskey. Bubble hash is your wine.
Yeah,
and
yes.
Your liquor is your BHO.
Yeah. That the BHO stuff. That's the stuff that's a little timid for me, because it's I try to do it in moderation now. I guess it's
yeah.
I really do enjoy it. It's fabulous.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like that about me.
No.
All day, every day, it all helps.
No. I mean, they don't like the all day, every day attitude. But I mean, without it, I'd be writhing in pain all day. And I have a lot of friends who have to smoke blunts to get through the day. Yeah. And that's awful. It's terrible. But you know, I use oil. That's just how it's worked for me.
Personal choices. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, there's also the fact that, you know, being under the regimen of other pharmaceuticals that you're under.
Oh yeah.
You know that you know. It's funny to me that somebody would have a problem with, you know, oh, you're all day, every day, or whatever, when I know lots of people that are on other sort of pharmaceuticals all day, every
Vicodin
day.
Vicodin every day.
Vicodin all day, every day. My dad's on, like, what, 6 Vicodin and 1 Percocet a day, something like that. You know,
3 times
every
a day.
And he's developed that tolerance, too, where, you know, he's not zombified and he's still lucid and, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for cannabis, in my belief here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely that, you know, anybody that would dab hit at the level that Ganja John does and then be expected to even walk or dress themselves.
Right.
You know, would not happen. Right?
I've seen people take, you know, 1 small dab that I'll take 15 of.
Yeah.
And they literally couldn't dress themselves. And so, you know, to put it in the drug category is probably a good idea.
But realistically, if you look at something like what John has and what something like my wife has, where it's they do not get high, quote unquote, like someone have the euphoric levels. It gets to the point where they can actually function. Like, I have not seen my wife, quote unquote, inebriated in months, just because it's a point of bringing it to a level of tolerance, just for living life on a fair level for, I don't know, just to make it through the day. And so if that's what John requires, just to maintain that.
And she's one of the only people that I really hang out with that can go dab for dab with me.
Yeah.
And that's medical use.
And she still has to, like, wear sunglasses indoors. And yeah. It's not.
Yeah, when she comes into our house, we have to turn off the TV.
Yeah.
And I mean,
like, last night, John was taking pictures, not even with a photo flash, just the spacing light from the infrared spacing.
The orange spacer, yeah.
Full on, like, she's still this morning. That's why I was running late to the show, because I was rubbing her back nonstop, because it triggers a tension headache, like. And so that's even with John's amazing skill sets that we still could knock it out with no matter what.
Yeah,
and that's something we, you know, need to consider too as we.
It is medicine.
Yeah, it is. And as we move forward, how broad its use is. That not only is it the medicine that, you know, makes your wife able to even function, but it's also what I smoke a bowl of so I can get through a writer's block on a story.
It's also what, you know, I use at the end of the day to wind down just as much as I use it medically.
Yeah.
You know, if I get in a fight with my wife and I don't feel like I can apologize, I go and take a hit and suddenly I have a little bit of compassion.
Yeah.
And that's, see, I'm the inverse. I overthink the fact and I get too emotional if I do that. So like for me, it's all different choices. People use it for a million different reasons.
Yep.
And that's why it should not be scheduled the way it is or even viewed the way it is in a public.
Right. And I often have that metaphor I use, or is it a simile? We'll see. Of we're trying to put a pot leaf shaped block through a Red Cross sized hole.
I love
or
that.
Through a bong shaped hole.
Yeah.
Or through a Jesus cross shaped hole. Whatever. Every existing paradigm we have manifested for every other thing there is out there, we keep trying to put pot in that, and it's not. Pot's its own thing.
Yeah.
It's its own thing. It is. It's like the old Saturday Night Live. It's new shimmer. It's a floor wax and a dessert topping. It's both an incredible medicine for AIDS patients, and it's a fun way for Radical Rust to get high. It's two things in one.
But that's ultimately is, I think, the problem with the movement, and they can hate me all they want because I'm a comic, so... Is it for every individual in this group that has their individual different viewpoint of it should be medical, it should be this, it should be a deity, it should be this? You're trying to make it your viewpoint, which is what you're trying to fight against. Mm. It's ultimately like being agnostic versus atheist. The argument's kind of moot. Is what you need to do is accept the change you can make and be more Gandhi in it. And so please don't castrate me over that. But I really, there's no point in arguing about how and why. It's just need to be.
And that's why a lot of, you know, people have heard me say this in the past. I come from the medical marijuana side of it. I'm a recreational user through and through.
Yeah.
Just because I have these problems doesn't mean I'm not using it recreationally. And I am. And I will always be a recreational user. Even if you pump me full of stem cells and make me brand new again, I'm still going to smoke reefer.
Like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now I can just get high.
Now I can get high and, you know, jog.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's coming.
Yeah,
that's your right to life, my friend. And that's the definition of liberty to me. And I don't – that's what a libertarian is. And if you can't – if you're not responsible for your own life, you have no business worrying about what others have.
No. Absolutely.
And if I can plant a seed in my backyard – I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that I can't grow. That is beyond every possible logic of American principles. That just seed in the ground in my own yard.
Yeah, exactly.
And then how can you argue that against the Constitution?
We'll talk more about that in our upcoming Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio here. Stay with us, and you can call in and make your points known. Marijuana as a drug, marijuana as an herb, how do we fight for its legalization? Give us a call. It's 971-533-7111, and we'll take your calls all the way 5 p.m. Pacific through 6 p.m. Pacific, or whatever it is in your time zone. For Cannabis Carry, Wiz Khalifa, Ganja John, and Todd Armstrong, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!